Okay, Beacon, regarding that TP volunteering. No, a bit of it, where I think someone like me, then okay, maybe needed now, is that it seems there is a kind of old times, new times that need to be freshened up a bit. Someone might even be afraid of me, that here's another one of those old heavy guys coming in wanting to be in control of the men and the money, as we used to say. But that's what I'm talking about, that there is a paradigm shift, which of course we can see has been and going on all over ISKCON International for a long time, as far as I know. So, and we already in Gothenburg started with that shift. I think we even called it then a paradigm shift. You know, that instead of everyone living in the temple, otherwise you're out, blooped, and the temple and everyone living in it should be maintained, financially collected for by some, well, collectors. And then the temple president there is appointed by God. And should stay there forever. Now, I think and hope that this has changed. In other words, first of all, we're talking about the flat organizational structure, which I know well, being a Swede and having worked in such organizational structure professionally. It works, and I would say it is perfect for devotee Vaishnavas. The pyramid upwards mobility, as we call it, that came in from America and affected us very much here, it's not really working well in Sweden, especially not among devotees, especially not among actual the ones who are like we were when I joined, very independent-minded, critically thinking, and, you know, like that. Such devotees, they go somewhere else, and you lose them because they are often the smart ones. Any case, first of all, living inside, living outside, I don't think that's any more an issue. And I don't think that in ISKCON International, in general, it's a big issue that if the general devotees in the temple or the congregation, you know, all of those who serve that project, that temple, that a leader is, you know, leader of, or any position being held there in a board or whatever, if a person doesn't do a good job, then they should, of course, be replaced. either be taught how to do a good job, and if they behave bad, they have to be warned that you cannot do this. And if they simply cannot fulfill their responsibilities, and which means that there are problems often then for other devotees, financial or managerial or whatever, interpersonal, then, well, it's time for someone else. And this, I would say, this rotation, not artificially one, but that, yes, I did my service here, it's time for me to go to move on, and I train up someone else. And this way, there will, of course, be sustainability, because we grow old and the young should take over. So this is also what I want to, and even then in Gothenburg, did a bit. Make yourself obsolete. Train up someone else, a youngster, to do it better than you do it. This is the way it works, right? We learn from those who have experience and knowledge of something, often who are serving in certain professions or so. We learn the profession, and then we can take it up, and we can even take leadership roles. And it's a natural way of doing it. So this is really just what we're talking about here. So I'm especially at this age not inclined or desiring to become some ruler appointed by God. I mean, it used to be, I mean, maybe even to the extent of turning into dynasties. My sons will rule after I leave. So, but this is not how spiritual groups, especially one like ISKCON, non-profits, clubs, interest groups, work. Because in such groups, the members are not employees working for someone else. To satisfy their interests. And then, of course, getting their share of that by salary. No, we're here talking about groups of people sharing the same interests and supporting each other. Not taking from each other. Or a leader taking from the others. I think this is an important thing to really see. And if you step out there into the corporate world, into the world of organizations that are actually successful and well run, this is what you find. So that's another thing that Well, then started to change when I was temple president in Gothenburg in the mid-90s. That we can't just isolate ourselves in a little bubble where we think we are the best at everything. And these stinking karmis, we shouldn't learn from them. We are the brahmanas. So look here, this is our brahmana sitting on the Vyasasan. Ask him about anything. Management, quantum physics, business, any handcraft, he can tell you. It was almost like that for a while. So what I mean by that little parody is that what happened then, and I saw it, I lived in Britain, I lived in the US, a little bit in India, and been all over. And that's the way it was then also, mid-90s, internationally in ISKCON, that well, devotees started getting professional education, I mean, for actually working professionally, and most of us have done that when we were older, including me. And, well, there are some little bubbles left here and there where devotees or members of those little groups are living very much within that group. And you know, it works. It's a little bit why ISKCON became, I think, pretty much maybe accused of being a cult, because it is cultish behavior. It's a groupthink behavior. We have the truth, the others are off, and therefore whatever goes on in our group, which is now protected from the outside world by this invisible wall that we don't even think of. But yeah, don't go outside there, it's dangerous. The demons will come and take you. And I mean, I've got stories illustrating that, if you don't believe that this could have been so. Well, what happens is that a little alternative universe develops then, that bubble. And because you don't learn from outside, from those who actually know, then there may be a low quality of competence for different jobs. Now, if you have a spiritual group, sister brotherhood, just, you know, a friendship group like that, it's nothing much is needed. Just how to meet now and then if we want to, and maybe projects together, and you are good at this, you're good at that. But when it comes to running and managing larger projects, especially properties where people live, families, children, elderly, such as we have here. It's crucial. It's very important. And I have to really underline that. That there is the required competence to take care of that. That the building, the rents collected are used very, very responsibly. And that there is proper budgeting, accounting, open, well, we say accountability and credibility. And a proper business plan, including maintenance of the properties, the buildings, making sure that the tenants or those working for that group, that property, that project, are well taken care of and being treated with proper human dignity. And although some old establishment people from our generation may have been echoing that mantra that don't care about the Swedish society, it's demoniac or whatever it is, impersonal. But actually, I grew up here. Stockholm is my hometown. I grew up my teens, childhood and teens in a small town. And I really now appreciate, although I can understand that some from other countries can't appreciate and see that, at least not in depth. Those parts of the Swedish culture, people are, honest, fairly clean, taking care of things, not dropping litter and garbage all over the place, sorting it out there on these stations. And I mean, it's an orderly society with fairly intelligent people who are good at ordering things and making, the society neat and comfortable to live in, which I think we all should have. Such as, a leader should be able, first of all, to provide that, give that shelter and that care for those that they lead. That's what leadership means. Your best leader is the best servant. So anyway, thoughts for today.